This is Pure Decking, show number 422 for Thursday, January 28th. Pick a year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and someone needs to get slack to understand the concept of a day off. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Fox. What is up, Fox?
What's up? There's things tonight.
All right. Could be worse, you know, dental work and all, but, you know, hey.
Mm.
So,
how's the moonshine gonna help you through the show?
Actually,
shot per story.
You know, this is pretty weak as far as alcohol goes. It's not bad, but it's not strong. So I've been sipping on it more than I meant to, without really realizing it. So, but it's all right. I got a little bit of dihydrogen monoxide over here as well, so I'll be all right. Yeah. Madman is here.
Hola. I've got four roses. I went with a bit better stock than yours.
Yeah, I need to get it. I need to make it to the liquor store at some point because I let the cabinet run dry, as it were. And we have are you?
Well, missed last week, but I'm back this week.
Yeah, last week we had a ton of people in the IRC, and they started asking us about like universal health care and. We got really off
meaning
topic.
Meaning of life.
Yeah.
42.
And today we've got almost nobody in the IRC, so that's
put
all right.
Them out from last week.
Yeah, we wore everybody out.
they're all out spending their GameStop cash, dude. They all got cashed up.
Oh, we need to start following some of these forums. I mean, if they're going to game stocks like that, like, you know, you get your week's notice, and it's like, fuck.
The weird part about it, man, I heard that 2 months ago on a couple of shows that I was listening to, the GameStop shit. So it's been around for a while before they went. But, these crazy bastards, they did it.
So, anyways, go ahead and just get started here at the first story. This is from Ars Technica and, you know, comes from RU's neck of the planet. So Google says they will shut down Australian search before they pay news sites for links. Google says it would have no real choice but to shut down its search engine if Australia passes a new law requiring Google to pay news sites to link to their articles. How do you define news sites? Because I'm going to be spinning up a lot of blogs if this becomes common practice. Yeah. This would set an untenable precedent for our business and the digital economy, unquote, said Google's Mel Sylvia in Friday testimony before the Australian Senate. News organizations around the world have been struggling financially over the last decade or two. Many have blamed internet companies like Google and Facebook that, in their view, have diverted advertising revenue that once went to news organizations. Some in the news industry argue that Google benefits from including news stories in its search results and should compensate news sites for the privilege of doing so. Wow, somebody really doesn't understand how the internet works.
Nope.
How the hell are people supposed to find your site to give you your ad click revenue that, oh wait, Google provides you?
Well, they're going to be just coming to our site directly to get our quality journalism. And that's about the correct response.
Yep.
So last year, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission... Can I get that on a business card somewhere? That just sounds dangerous. You know what I mean? It's like... It almost sounds like, you know, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. For some reason, I'm picturing Thunderdome, but with, like, random people nabbed out of grocery stores.
That's pretty much it, actually. You fucking nailed it. I mean, they've done good things for me and people I know. It depends who's actually running it at the time, man, whether they go help you out or not.
Yeah.
But they have been reasonably good over the years, so I don't want to shit on them too much, but I don't want to give them too much credit either.
I'm just making fun of the Orwellian name.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking crazy, but it's better than the one with the big stick.
So the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission proposed a new mandatory arbitration process designed to correct a supposed power imbalance between tech giants and Australian news sites. Under the new framework, news sites can demand that tech platforms, initially Google and Facebook, pay them for linking to their stories. Google and Facebook are required to negotiate, quote, in good faith towards a payment agreement.
I'm looking at pictures of those commissioners. I don't think any of them really knows what an internet is.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Other than the blinking box that sits on top of Big Ben.
I didn't. That's why I did not give them any credit, nor did I give them any shit. They aren't a commission that is in the modern era, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
And they've got a little too much of that diversity shit going on with them right now, so who fucking knows, but...
Well, I'm pretty sure one of their female hires is definitely a man.
Oh, that's a man. I'm pretty sure of it, too, but...
You might think that Google would simply stop linking to Australian news sites, but that won't be allowed under the ACCC proposal. New discrimination rules require Google to treat sites the same, whether it has to pay to link them or not.
So I can't not do business with them, and I have to pay them if I want to link to them.
Yeah.
It's a nice internet you have there. Sure would be a shame if anything were to happen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of don't blame Google for saying, well, okay, fuck Australia. I mean,
yeah. No, either do I, man. And you know what? Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Are they just targeting Google, or is it they going to hit DuckDuckGo or any of the other search engines next?
Google and Facebook initially. I'm sure they'll have some government body that decides whether a site falls afoul of this.
Well, that's the bit I'm not real happy with. And not, it's not a blanket. Everyone do it or no one do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We want your money.
Yeah, I don't.
We can get it.
I don't like that idea, and it's also a control issue too. I think the Australian government, for all its failings, sometimes sees clarity through future, knowing that their shitty little democracy that they've got going could easily be overthrown by Google with just the flick of an algorithm, if you follow my drift.
Mm. It does get a little
sort of
weird.
Like this,
go ahead.
Sort of like the Uganda issue of last month. You know, they turned social media off and social media shit the bed. You can't do that. Well, go make your own Uganda. And then everybody got blocked. But, I don't care either way about what happens with Google. I would like Google to fuck off. I don't want them in our politics. Like we had that discussion this morning. I don't think they should be in politics. But you can't stop them. So I don't think they'll have to pay in the long run. I think Google will crush Australia. They got more money than God right now. And we're already in a big enough fucking fight with China. We don't need to be shitting on the big global five right now, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. We got bigger problems just off our back door, if you know what I mean, than Google and their bullshit.
Well, yeah, I'm just now thinking, the government has somebody else to blame for all the problems that they're about to cause internationally.
So, but how would this work if you did want to apply it, you know, universally? Would I have to pay an Australian news site because I cover their story on G15? I mean, I link to it. I make a point of putting in all my source links. It's a little bit buried off the main site, but I do make a point of putting them in there.
I don't think they know themselves what they want to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they just see a big pile of money sitting in Google and Facebook and think we can get some of that.
There's those looking at the money. There are those who are looking at their own political future. And there are those who think we should just go it alone. I'm in the go it alone boat myself. Google can fuck off. So can Amazon. So can all of them.
So,
well, as far as that goes, you can choose other search engines.
Exactly.
But the internet isn't quite a go it alone thing because it's literally a group.
No,
I don't want my computer to be talking to itself. I like it talking to other things.
Depends on the computer. Probably a wrong way of doing it, but I mean, doing it our own way. You know what I mean? We don't just follow what everybody else is doing in the world. We'll have a crack at it ourselves. If we can't figure it out ourselves, then maybe we look to others for help. But we shouldn't just be following other models just because that's the way shit's done.
Keep talking, guys. I think the signal's a little hot. I am on the new broadcast box this week, so any goofiness, let me know. But I think it's a little hot, so I need to keep adjusting down.
Okay.
So if anybody on the stream notices it getting quiet, just, you know.
I'm not on the stream, but...
national business, so if Australia has a search engine, I don't know if you do.
I don't think we do, but...
promoting it, or if you think the Google's too big, promoting another one like DuckDuckGo, or is Ask Jeeves still a thing?
Probably.
Who knows, but I don't think Google should be in news anyway. I don't know what
they're
advertising.
Anything they link to, so it's what the Google browser links to, not browser, search engine links to.
I don't know, man. I don't have the answers for it. I mean, so, I'm not sad if they fuck off, but it's not going to be a very fair... I wouldn't want to do business with a country who treats companies differently. You know what I mean? Depending on who you are.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I'm not talking about the ownership of what company. I mean, like, if it's owned by a Chinese company, they should fuck off to start with. But then again, Google's not much different to China. So, I don't know. I don't have any answers. I have nothing.
Back to the article here. Australia's proposal has provoked a broad backlash from advocates of the open web, including the inventor of the web itself. In a letter to the Australian Senate earlier this week, Tim Berners-Lee argued that Australia's proposal would set a damaging precedent. Quote, "To my knowledge, there is no current example of legally requiring payments for links to other content," unquote, Berners-Lee said. Quote, "The ability to think freely, meaning without limitations regarding the content of the linked site, or the ability to link freely, and without monetary fees, is fundamental to how the web operates," unquote. And he's not wrong. That's kind of the mesh that makes the whole thing work. So Australia isn't the only country where Google is facing increasing pressure to pay news sites. This week, Google announced it had negotiated a framework to pay French news sites for the right to include them in its search results. Technically, the French law is different from Australia's proposal. In its law implementing the 2019 EU Copyright Directive, France requires Google to pay for the use of news snippets in search results. Google stopped using the snippets to avoid paying, but then France's competition authority objected, arguing that refusing to use snippets and pay news sites for them was an abuse of Google's market power. Despite reservations about the French law, Google announced it had an agreement with French news organizations this week. Again, that really just sounds like, hey, we see a pile of money over there, and when Google's like, okay, we'll change our practices, they're like, no, you're not. We still want that pile of money.
Yeah. Yeah, and all this is it just really sings of a money grab.
Damn it, I hate thinking that I have to defend Google, but I have to defend Google here. They're being fucked.
I mean, granted, they've got some
But just because you can pull the train, should you be forced to?
Well, I mean, and here's the thing. It's like, again, this really does stink of they see a pile of money and they want access to it. Because a few years ago, it would have been the other way around. I mean, this is almost exactly what you see happening with radio stations, where radio stations used to get paid by the music labels to play their stuff to advertise the music. Now it's the other way around, where the music labels want the radio stations to pay them to play music. And this is the exact same thing. You know, 5-10 years ago, some of these companies would have been paying Google. I mean, that's how you get those promoted links at the top of a Google search if you don't have your ad block turned on.
Yeah.
Is people are paying Google to promote their stuff. Now it's the other way around. It's, oh, you want to put our stuff on your page? You better pay us. And unfortunately, I don't see this going well, because Unlike the music labels, which had all kinds of fun contract and copyright law protecting them, the news agencies aren't nearly as organized and aren't nearly as big. I mean, yeah, you've got the major, you know, the major news companies, like, you know, your Foxes, your ABCs, whatever Murdoch owns this week. I don't know what the French and Australian equivalents are, but I know that you have major news companies.
Sky News, yeah.
Yeah, Sky and the other one.
ABC.
Yeah. BBC? That's a
government. ABC.
Oh, ABC.
Okay, yeah.
We have a national broadcaster that we pay for.
Yeah. But
God knows fucking why, though. Piece of shit.
But again, this is, you know, is it these big guys they want deals with, or is it, you know, all the little, you know, your local news stations that where a lot of the actual reporting gets done, you know? So
it sounds like they'd have to pay all of them.
Yeah, I know.
But like the little town newspaper that has their blog and their web page now gets Google money, so Google can link to the local news of that area.
As Ars wrote on Thursday, France's success provides a roadmap for other European countries that want to force Google to pay their news organizations.
We're
too.
Not European. We're Asian, for fuck's sake. Get it right.
Hair up, please.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I'm reading the article.
I'm not talking to you, Morps. I was talking to the article.
Okay. This is why I post all the links.
And I want to point out, for the record, you're considered your own damn continent. You're not Asian.
We're Southeast Asian. That's the part of the fucking world we're located in.
Asia is a continent. Australia is its own continent.
So is RU's mom, but we're splitting hairs here.
Exactly. According to a lot of websites, Australia doesn't exist anyway. It's just a meme.
I thought, well, I mean, for the, you know, at one point we were joking that, you know, Europe, as it was a CIA conspiracy theory. So.
At least France.
I'll give you that one.
I mean, I have some family that's actually been over there and attested to it being a real place. Now, granted, I don't know if they're, you know, CIA plants or, you know, glow in the darks, but this is getting weird.
I mean, they inceptioned, you know, myself and Sard a couple times.
So,
yeah.
And it may undermine Google's bargaining power in Australia as well. In Australia, Google has portrayed free links as principles so sacrosanct that it would shut down the search engine before it agreed to pay. But in France, Google seems to have accepted a similar agreement without shutting down its French search engine. Update, see Google's statement below. This may be because France has more leverage than Australia. Not only is France a larger country than Australia, but France's membership in the EU may have given it added leverage. Yeah, I'd say so. Given the
larger
fact that,
larger population, not larger country. Once again, another fuck up in that article.
Yep. Well, and actually, if you think about it, the way the European common market is, if you say I'm refusing to do business in France, you probably can't do business in the rest of the EU. Because we talked about Steam doing that same game last week, where they had games priced differently for different parts of the EU, and the EU said you can't do that. So, on the other hand, it may be that the specifics of the Australian proposal make it much more offensive to Google. One area of concern for Google is the use of the baseball-style arbitration rules. Under this bargaining system, each side, in this case Google or Facebook on one side and a news publisher on the other, submits a single proposal to a neutral arbitrator. The arbitrator must then decide which of the two proposals is more reasonable and adopt it. And this, in theory, this structure gives both sides an incentive to meet the other party halfway. But Google worries that the system will be based on biased criteria and will create unmanageable financial and operational risk for Google. Australia's proposal requires Google to notify Australian news sites of changes to its search algorithm 28 days in advance. Okay, Google changes that thing hourly. How's that?
Fuck off. We want 28 days up front, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Google has
said we're unreasonable people. Just walk away. Just fucking walk away, and I'll let you live. We're not unreasonable.
Google has traditionally kept details about its algorithm secret and argues that disclosing this information to Australian news publishers would give those publishers an unfair advantage over other websites. Well, duh. What do you think the Australian government wants? The new Australian law would also require Google to share traffic data with news sites, raising concerns about user privacy. In any event, Australian officials don't seem worried about Google's opposition. Quote, we don't respond to threats, unquote, said Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison on Friday. Australia makes our rules for things you can do in Australia.
That can be taken correct.
So many ways. Google's statement, our issues with the current version of the Australian code are not about money. We're willing to pay. It's about being asked to pay for links and snippets, which the EUCD and the French transposition does not. This is where we draw the line. Links and snippets are the building blocks of the free and open web. To pay publishers in Australia, we're proposing to do the same thing we're doing in France. Pay publishers for value in the new showcase. The difference would be that News Showcase would operate under the code, meaning publishers can go to arbitration on News Showcase and solve any disagreements. So they're arguing, they're kind of arguing the rule set as opposed to the game. It's like, we've all agreed to play strip poker. We didn't agree to how much you're going to take off when you lose.
Another reason Google don't want to do it is accountability. They have to be accountable.
Well, and that and all the data that they want.
Yeah. I mean, we're not asking much. Just give us everything, motherfucker. You know?
Well, on top of that, with everything that they're requesting, one, you might make it extremely difficult for Google to operate. Like I said, they're tweaking that algorithm constantly.
Yeah.
And two, I don't think they're set up to provide that kind of information. I don't think they know how. Like, if they actually had to give that kind of a notice and all the traffic statistics and all that stuff, I don't think they're set up to do it. I don't think that they probably have to go reinvent half their systems to make that work.
Oh, yeah, they don't care where you're going just so long as you're going somewhere.
I mean, if their code isn't set up to capture those kind of metrics, it's pretty hard to report it after the fact. You know what I mean? So,
we have a Rats joined us.
Welcome, Rats. But, from what I know about working in software, man, it's they don't realize just how much they're asking for with an established system like what Google has.
No, I know they don't have any information on what I know the people are crafting this law have no idea what they're fucking doing. They don't even know what a stonk is. They're fucking retarded. All you have to do is look at the rollout of our high speed internet fucking over the last 10 years.
High speed's a generous term.
I'm kind of retarded.
Yeah. That's pretty much how they go into the negotiations.
I'm not shocked. Yeah, you need all new internet. Your current internet uses the wrong kind of electricity.
This is exactly extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Anyway, next story.
Next story. This one's from The Guardian. Insurers are funding organized crime by actually paying ransomware claims. This makes me sad.
Insurers have found another way to pay organized crime, might be a better way of phrasing that. Kidnapping insurance has been a thing for a while. So, yeah, they've already doing that.
Insurers are inadvertently funding organized crime by paying out claims from companies who have paid ransoms to regain access to data and systems after a hack attack. Britain's former top cybersecurity official has warned. Serene Martin, who ran the National Cybersecurity Center until last August, said he feared that so-called ransomware was, quote, close to getting out of control, unquote, and that there was a risk that the national health system could be hit during the pandemic. Well, of course, we've got to link it back to the old Wu flu there. The problem
is... virus.
That's right. Yeah, the China virus.
You're not allowed to say that anymore, so it's become the China virus now.
Right.
Sweet and sour sickness?
The great sneeze called forward? Straight up China
the
virus, man.
The Terracotta Army?
The reason Cuomo won't let people out of their homes? I mean, they were only welding people in their homes in Wuhan. I mean, you know.
Perfectly normal.
I really enjoyed the videos where you'd see like the six guys in hazmat suits tackle somebody and throw them in a van. I mean,
it's still going on.
They were just taking out for an enhanced shopping trip.
There you go. Enhanced sightseeing.
Back to the article here. The problem, he said, is being fueled because there is no legal barrier to companies paying ransoms to cyber gangs, typically from Russia and some other former Soviet states, and claiming back on insurance. Quote, people are paying Bitcoin to criminals and claiming back cash, Martin said. I see this as so avoidable. At the moment, companies have incentives to pay ransoms to make sure this all goes away, the former intelligence chief said. You have to look seriously about changing the law and insurance and banning these payments, or at the very least having a major consultation with the industry. Okay, the problem here isn't that you need a new law. The problem is that these insurance companies have obviously not put together very good policy language that lets them pay out for this shit.
Right.
Britain's extortion laws prohibit the payment of ransoms to terrorists and were drawn up largely in response to the threat of kidnapping. But cyber attacks are, yeah, because criminals care so much about whether it's legal to pay them.
Well, they got to draw the line somewhere, Morps. Why don't you think it's there?
I don't know. Just something.
Don't try to use logic. You can give yourself an angry.
We're going to outlaw paying ransoms.
Oh, fuck.
Cyber attacks are not carried out by terror group. There's no bar to paying ransom demands, and it's possible to make an insurance claim if no personal data was involved. Criminal hacking groups tend to be based in Russia and former Soviet states outside the Baltic region, Martin said. A lot of these groups operate there virtually because a lot of the Russian ISPs are specifically set up for this shit. And as long as you're not attacking Russian targets, they don't care. It doesn't mean that these people are actually based in Russia. It just means they're using services. Anyways, Martin said, operating while the Kremlin and other governments in the region turned a blind eye to their activities. Some groups claim they have made so much money that they are publicly announcing their retirement online. While the Wizard Spider or Ryuk gang is estimated to have made $150 million from online extortion, according to a study of Bitcoin transactions. So-called ransomware attacks involve groups hacking into in-season control of corporate data systems. The gangs demand money, typically up to $10 million at a time, to give back access to the systems. Quote, attackers often set great store in being reliable once you have paid them, providing testimony from involuntary customers, Martin said.
Involuntary customers.
Oh, goddamn.
That makes me want to start a business.
No, I have so many thoughts for him. Involuntary customers. Most
I
of them involve
an involuntary shopping trip.
Oh, I'm going to open a restaurant, and we're going to have involuntary customers that consist entirely of people riding on school buses that are easily coerced at the point of a shotgun.
I'm just thinking a food truck that pulls up, you step outside, draw a gun on somebody, and say, buy a burrito, motherfucker.
I mean, yeah, that's basically it. I mean, this is the equivalent to Dairy Queen putting up a sign that says, children, scream until your parents stop for ice cream.
Oh. I mean, if only most of their constituents could read.
Actually, most of these groups, yeah, they say, they set great store in being reliable. That depends on which group it is. And it depends on what ransomware you're hit with. If you actually have a targeted group in your network, yeah, they probably are. If you just got hit with the latest crypto locker, yeah, no, you're fucked. You might get a key back if you pay it, but probably not.
Oh, do you think Britain's going to make it expensive enough that people are just going to start backing up their shit?
You know, I don't know. Because you're right in that the problem is one of network management, not that people are paying the ransoms. It's that it's just easier for these businesses to go, oh, well, we'll just pay the ransom and rather than do IT correctly.
I reckon let them pay the ransom, then find the company, whatever the ransom was. So they get their shit together, man. Mm. Like, if they're not gonna listen to policy, fuck them where they hurt, where it hurts, right in the hip.
Okay. Well, you got to be careful too, because then you're blaming the victim, even though the problem here is that their management policy means that they don't have a backup strategy.
But, hey, did you see the skirt she was wearing?
I saw the database that
penetrated.
I saw the database, man. It was one sexy looking rig.
Begging for it.
God.
If she's just gonna leave her ports open, Daddy. Yeah, she's just gonna leave her ports open for anyone to sniff. You know what the fuck? I can't make any more fucking puns.
Travelex, a UK-based provider of foreign exchange services, paid $2.3 million last year to regain control after hackers shut down its network, but the company subsequently fell into administration and had to be restructured with the loss of 1,300 jobs. Smartwatch maker Garmin also reportedly paid to recover files after suffering a crippling attack last summer. Criminal attackers say they will not target hospitals or health centers, believing such attack would have wider diplomatic repercussions. But Martin said the worry is that the IT systems do not readily identify themselves online, so a mistaken attack with wider consequences remains possible. Well, I don't know. If you get into the network and you notice that the way to get in was the unpatched Windows XP machine running a pharmacy dispenser, you might be able to make a... That's the thing.
You usually think you'd say an educated guess, but that is stretching it.
We couldn't update it because we couldn't get Health and Human Services to approve an update.
I was going to say, usually the way you identify a hospital network is all these unpatched machines on the network. It's usually a pretty good giveaway.
The patches weren't HIPAA compliant. We couldn't update.
I've heard that, dude. I've actually heard that
one. True.
Yeah.
Let's see. In 2017, NHS systems were among those seriously disrupted by the WannaCry attack, which emerged from North Korea. Although not a ransomware attack, the disruption caused the hospital to hospital systems demonstrates how serious health sector could be affected in the UK and elsewhere. German police have launched an investigation in September after a woman died during a cyber attack on a hospital in Dusseldorf. Doctors have been attempting to transfer the patient to another facility 30 kilometers away. Other recent ransomware attacks have been conducted against Eurofins, a Belgian company that provides forensic services and disrupted police investigations in England and Wales and elsewhere for some months. Although this was not widely reported at the time, it too reportedly paid a ransom. The fucking cops paid the ransom.
Brilliant!
Companies who have effective backups and can otherwise shrug off a hacker attack also find themselves under pressure to pay because gangs are now threatening to leak stolen data online, evolution of the classic ransomware model. Martin said it was difficult to track the level of ransomware activity because there was a lack of disclosure obligations unless personal data is involved. But he added that he regretted not being able to change the law during his time in government and that action was needed soon. Quote, in the last year, experts are saying this is close to getting out of control. Close to. Dude, the cops were paying a ransom. It's out of control.
Yeah.
The former intelligence agency chief said, the law is nobody's fault. It was written for another purpose. It has become okay to pay out to criminals. Well, I mean, it is a hard problem to solve, right? But, of course, it's easy for me to say, do proper corporate security, back your shit up, and I don't know, maybe think about encrypting your data at rest in the data center. Just a thought. But
But honestly, how costly would that be?
Depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about a new build of some service or website, a new, completely from scratch install, it's not much more expensive than building anything else from scratch. It doesn't add that much on top anymore. Most of the technology is integrated. If you're talking about grabbing an ancient AS400 backed system that's doing orders, financial tracking, or, you know, something written in Java in the 90s, shoehorning all that into encryption and proper, you know, backups and proper, you know, BCDR compliance is a massive pain in the ass and expensive. Because usually you have to pay a lot of technical people to go untangle the code and the web of lies and mess that your previous technical people left. Especially if you're dealing with software that's, you know, more than 10 years old and the original people who wrote it died of a heart attack 6 years ago.
So if you're running your own servers, pretty difficult. But if you're leasing them from Amazon, not a problem.
Well, actually, you have a. It's not that it's easier if you're running your own servers. You just have a different set of problems if you're going with a cloud provider. So if you're running your own servers, you have to make some technology decisions. How are you encrypting them? What technology stack are you running? How are you backing them up? Are you using something like a NetApp or a Pure Storage, or are you going to try to roll your own? You're going to do something, you know, you're going to grab like a free NAS? Are you going to buy hard disks? Are you going to back up to the cloud? You have a whole bunch of technical decisions to make. If you're doing something like in the cloud, like an Azure or an AWS, do you live in one cloud? Do you distribute out to many clouds? How do you manage your identity? How are you controlling access to those cloud accounts? Remember, we've talked about companies that had everything in a single Amazon account, and hacker ransomware guys got into that one, and when they refused to pay, they just deleted everything, backups, all of it, because it all lived in the one Amazon account, and when they got into that administrative account, they killed that company, just destroyed everything. They had to post on their website, yeah, it's all gone. We've got nothing. We're sorry. We're closing shop.
Yeah, your backups would have to be in a separate account on that one.
Well, and again, these are different sets of problems. It's not that it's easier or harder. It is different. I would posit that there's a lot of good information out there these days if you're doing cloud-based, because that's currently, you know, the new hotness, and, you know, everyone wants to be like Netflix, and everyone wants to be like, you know, Amazon, and wants to be like Google. So everyone wants to be cloud-based. So there's lots of information out there on doing this correctly. Now, that means there's also a lot of noise, because you got, you know, people who've, you know, done it for 5 minutes, paraphrased somebody else's tutorial, and threw up a blog post hoping to sell those, Raycon earbuds or whatever the fuck. But usually a lot of the cloud systems that they're actually hosting companies do a pretty good job of documenting what they can do. So but, you know, you do get back to that problem if you're punishing somebody who's already been a victim of a crime because they paid out, right? And I would like to see them not pay out, too, because if nobody ever paid out, then there wouldn't be much point in doing it other than just pissing people off, right? So you'd still see political action going on. You'd still see them, you know, they would move off to some other way of trying to, you know, mostly stealing the data and say, if you don't pay us, we're going to dump it on the internet kind of thing, like what they were talking about for companies that won't pay just to recover. They'll move on to something else, but as far as the don't, you know, if they're getting in and getting your data that way, if it's encrypted at rest, it's at least another hurdle.
It's still not solving the problem of if you didn't back it up, you're fucked.
Right.
It's just you didn't have, I guess it would still be a breach. It's just you may not have, they might not be able to use anything that they've got in the breach.
Well, and that depends on how they breached you, too. So if you've got everything encrypted at rest and somebody gets into like your Amazon admin account, that may not actually give them the keys. Okay, if they're good, it probably would. But, you know, it may not give them direct access to that data. Like if they just go in and start dumping out the S3 buckets, may not do them any good because everything's still encrypted. They'd still need the keys from somewhere, which are probably going to be part of your code, maybe in a Lambda function, or you know, maybe you'll have certificates stored somewhere else. If you're really doing it right, you'll have that in a separate escrow service, some sort of a key management platform, or maybe you'll be running an identity management platform, say an Okta or a Duo or one of the open source platforms for doing that. Actually, Amazon has one built into their AWS system, so you might be splitting it out that way. But again, this comes back to a lot of, frankly, expensive work that's not going to have a lot of business impact, right? So if you're the manager of the company, it's like, well, I can spend $100 million securing my network, or I can spend $100 million adding new features to my product and make more money back, where securing my network is only going to, only going to matter if I'm a victim of ransomware. Humans are bad at judging risks. They're going to say, oh, well, we're never going to be a victim of ransomware. We're not going to pay this. And, why would anybody want to hack us? I love that one.
Because you'll pay the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the way it's set up, you might have to.
And then usually the conversation goes, well, why'd you let this happen to us? Why'd you let us get hacked? Well, I had it all written up right here that you wouldn't let me fix it because you didn't want
to
spend
the
money.
You're not allowed to write those reports anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, you didn't explain the problem, how serious the problem was to us, so it's still your fault. Yeah, usually those kind of people, when they make those decisions, it doesn't matter that, you think they're wrong. They're still going to find a way to blame somebody else. That's why they're in management. They figured out the game was figuring out how to blame somebody else for their fuck-ups. This is why you keep all of your email and cover your ass. Document every fucking thing. Speaking of another company that should be keeping up with documenting everything, Psychro sent me, I don't know if it was this link, but he sent me the story. This one's from Apple Daily. As Adobe Flash stops running, so do some railroads in China. The railroad system in Dalian, northern China, collapsed citywide on Tuesday for up to 20 hours after the Adobe Flash programming software stopped running. Adobe had announced as early as 2017 that it would cease support for the multimedia software on December 30th of last year. The American software company eventually ended the operation of all Flash content on Tuesday. On Tuesday's chaos arose after the China Railway Shenyang failed to deactivate Flash in time, leading to a complete shutdown of its railroads in Dalian, Langlin province. Staffers were reportedly unable to view train operation diagrams, formulate train sequencing schedules, and arrange shutting plans. Authorities fixed the issue by installing a pirated version of Flash at 4:30 a.m. the following day.
Oh, how are we going to fix? Oh, go to Pirate Bay.
So, oh, no, guy, you sell bootleg.
This article doesn't do a great job of explaining it. Most likely what's happened is that their proprietary software that they run their train station on, like the web interfaces and everything, probably all written in Flash. Anybody who's worked with old versions of VMware knows that all kinds of back-end systems used Flash basically to get around the fact that Java applets and ActiveX are no longer a thing in browsers. So they went to Flash. Well, now Flash is no longer a thing. So they had to go get, they said, a pirated version. There are versions of Flash floating around that you can reinstall on systems to get it working. There's some different open source implementations. There's some people who've just hacked up the old versions not to talk to Adobe to get the little background check that they slipped in a couple of years ago to say, hey, we're shutting this down, get rid of it. Likely it's one of those that they grabbed, and I don't know if pirated's a translation error or just whoever wrote this didn't understand what they were talking about. But I do like that they wrote it that way. So, it's shit like this right here. There's some IT guy who worked for that Chinese railroad station who's going, I fucking told you this was going to be a problem.
Fuck no. They're just going, it's Yang's problem. No one wants to be responsible in China, dude, for a problem. that's the problem Xi Jinping was having for a while when everything was going to shit for them, because he made himself pretty much premier of everything. The minute there's a problem, it's his fault. There's no chain of command faults.
The dude that suggested them fix this years ago is saying, thank God I don't have that job anymore.
From the gulag somewhere. Yeah. It's like, you got him in this gulag now.
You're no fix. Go to camp.
Which kidney are you selling?
Oh, both? Okay.
It's like, wait, did he agree to any of that? Ice. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We wrote happy face on gag and made him nod. Oh, we joke, but China is fucking terrifying. Anyways,
yep.
But I mean, there's tons of other businesses that have done this. And again, it's just they're running their IT on a shoestring. They don't fucking care. And yeah, when shit happens, they'll hem and haw about it. They'll get pissy about it. And they'll pay the ransomware. They'll go grab a hacked version of Flash rather than actually doing the correct work of updating their systems to get off of dead technology or setting up proper backups and data protection practices.
I'll take shit that's never going to happen for $500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Well, and that's the thing, right? It's all infrastructure. There's no compelling immediacy to that need. Like, if you're building a secure infrastructure and that's going to be a marketing point for your company, sure. But, you know, the only companies that are going to understand this are the ones who've been victims of it. You know, it's like there's two types of people in this world. Those who keep backups and those who've never had a data integrity problem. So, anyways, next article is from Newsweek. You know, this is the thing everyone's going nuts about at the moment. Robinhood stops GameStop and AMC stock trading, outraging investors. Stocks of GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, Nokia, and others not currently supported on the Robinhood trading app, or are not currently supported on the Robinhood trading app, with customers claiming they are being blocked from purchasing additional shares. Screenshots users shared on Twitter showed the GameStop stocks on the Robinhood app with the label, "This stock is not supported on the Robinhood app." Robinhood has confirmed it is restricted trade in a statement. Quote, "We continuously monitor the markets and make changes where necessary. In light of recent volatility, we are restricting transactions for certain securities to position closing only, including AMC, BlackBerry, BBBY, I don't know what that one is, EXPR, don't know what that one. Did Doge really just hit 7 cents?
Yep.
Fuck. Man, I wish I still had some of that. I'm not going to go pay for it now because it'd be my luck. You buy it and it turns out to be the top of the hill.
7 cents, man.
And let's put $100,000 in there. Fuck. Of course, if you'd put $100,000 in there about an hour ago and then sold out right now, you'd be sitting pretty.
If you had $100,000 to fuck around with, you'd already be sitting pretty.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Costs, NAKD, and NOC. I don't know what all those are. We also raised margin requirements for certain securities, the statement read. The inability to trade GameStop and AMC sparked outrage across social media as users took to Twitter to vent their frustrations. Quote, in all caps, "They done took GME and AMC off Robinhood," one wrote.
Yes,
they were over 9,000 traders.
Yeah, they were like, "No, the poor shall not know our ways."
Oh, you beautiful bastards!
Another said,
"I love those faggots."
Another said, "Quote: You can no longer buy GameStop stock on Robinhood. Ditto Nokia, AMC, and other stocks have been shorted." I don't know why I'm making these guys extremely southern, but it's just fun.
It's working for me.
Quote, "The free market's only free until rich people lose money." The latest developments come amid a frenzy of stock market activity surrounding the video games retailer. GameStop. I'm going to get somebody saying, you know, that guy didn't sound like that, right?
Well, we'll give him time on the channel to explain himself.
Yeah, just have him send me the audio clip. I'll play it. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll play it.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
The latest developments come amid a frenzy of stock market activity surrounding the video game retailer. GameStop's share price reached as high as $380 on Wednesday, up from $18 a few weeks ago, after those on the subreddit are Wall Street Bets invested in the company, clubbing together to thwart hedge fund short sellers that were betting against the company. The stock value has risen a total of 1,700% this month. The fever on Reddit has sparked other stocks as well, including Nokia and American Airlines. AMC Theaters, which also reported AMC Theaters, which also reported effectively, this is written weird, reportedly affected by the Robinhood action, has seen its shares soar by almost 300%. The move to protect AMC started with a message posted to Reddit's Our Wall Street Bets community on Tuesday, in which a user shared a detailed list of reasons to encourage people to invest in AMC holdings. Robinhood offers commission-free investing, with users able to invest any amount of money and trade in real time. The share price of retailer GameStop has rocketed by 8,000% in 6 months, as Reddit members aim to thwart short sellers that were betting against the business. I don't think that's what they were doing. I think they were, one, trolling, but two, I think they were seeing an opportunity, expecting this company to come back and hoping that by everybody buying it, they'd get the price up and be able to dump out. I think they were doing pump and dumps, which admittedly is not that great in the stock market, mainly because I wasn't watching this or Wall Street Bets in time to make any money off of it. Otherwise, I would think it was the greatest thing in the world.
They weren't doing a pump and dump.
They weren't.
I want to say that. Pump and dumps are illegal, Morphs, and generally involve deception. These guys went in knowing this was a crap stock and purchased it to fuck with stock traders. Now, it's going to have the same effect as a pump and dump, as in whoever doesn't sell on the high end is going to get fucked and left with no money. But it wasn't collusion. No one planned to defraud. So, yeah, not a pump and dump.
Fair enough. Hedge funds such as Melvin Capital are believed to have lost more than $23 billion on GameStop just this month, with small investors continuing to shore up the price of the company's shares. Two major investment firms, SiteTrend Research and Melvin Capital, that shorted the GameStop stock, betting the retailer's share price would plummet, exited their positions on Wednesday, cutting their losses from the recent price surge. Just a week ago, Citroen Research was reported to have described GameStop as a failing mall-based realtor and bet against it, predicting shares would fall to $20 because it's pretty much in terminal decline. Apparently, Robinhood, AMC, and GameStop were contacted by Newsweek for comment. All right, Madman, you understand this better than I do. Explain how shorting a stock works.
Okay, so let's say I think a stock is overvalued. I'm going to go to somebody that owns that stock and be like, hey, dude, I want to borrow your stock in AMC. It's and for you allowing me to borrow it for whatever amount of time you're planning to short the stock, I will pay you $20 plus the stock. They then technically lend you the stock, but it's effectively giving it to you, because what you're going to do then is sell the stock at that time. And when you're supposed to be giving this stock back to the person you borrowed it from, you're buying one share of that stock on the open market. Now, if you were correct, you're selling the stock when it's high, buying it when it's low, pocketing the difference minus whatever you've offered to give your friend for loaning you that stock, and then you're giving him that stock back. So everyone that was shorting GameStop borrowed stocks from people that, you know, weren't shorting it, and then sold those stocks, now have to buy them back at much, much higher prices and give them to whoever they agreed to help to borrow for the short.
So what happens?
Which is literally everybody now, because they're buying their stocks back to double that.
So what happens if you can't, like, okay, let's say you tried to short GameStop when it was at 30, expecting it to go 20, and now it's at $400. You know, what happens if you decide I'm not going to buy that $400 stock for you?
You owe that dude $400 plus whatever you agreed to pay him. You have to give him his stock back.
Okay,
and that's fraud.
You have to plus his interest. What was killing them is that GameStop was going up at the time they were trying to get out. That's how they fucked up.
So that's also why you're seeing all these hedge funds losing money. That's the money they had to spend to buy the stock back to give to whoever they were shorting with. Because whenever you short a stock, you don't short one share of it. You're buying hundreds of shares or thousands of shares, because generally when you're shorting a stock, it's because the company's either crap, or they have a crap product, or they have crap management. There's some reason. You don't go and short a healthy company.
Well, and I will say this. GameStop is not a healthy company. It does not take much work to look into that to see that they are in. Yeah, I don't think the hedge funds were wrong to be shorting the stock. They just weren't the internet coming in to have fun with them.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's scaring me about this isn't that the internet's fucking with somebody, because anyone who's looked at stocks and shorting over the long haul, there have been many, many, many dumb things that the market has done. For a short time in, I believe it was Sweden, tulip bulbs were selling more than gold.
Yeah.
It's considered the first stock market bubble. So, yeah, shit's going to happen in an open market. What's scaring me about this is there's now talk in Congress about doing something. And there's not a good way of stopping this, because any regulation that they put in to try to prevent people from shoring up stock, which is kind of what Reddit is doing, you shore up stock on good companies, because people that short stocks aren't always correct. They might be somewhat correct in when they start the short, but then there's a change in management and the company goes from being run like crap to being run well and actually has a good product.
The only thing I don't like, Mad Men, this is what they need to step in and do it. These faggots go on fucking CNBC and shit like that on the business shows, talk shit about a company, short the stock, and then fucking cash out. And they do it in plain fucking sight. And then the minute the small dudes come in and start talking some mad shit and making money, oh, fuck it, they're all terrorists, insurrectionists, oh my God, white supremacists are taking over the fucking money markets. Get the fuck out of here. I watch these cockheads all the time on fucking TV going, well, this is a shit product, buy or sell. There are whole fucking shows devoted to shorting stocks.
Yeah.
You know? So there's nothing Congress should fucking do. And if they do it, you guarantee it ain't going to be in the best interest of the little man.
There's not a good answer to this. So you should do nothing. Robinhood should let these stocks continue to be traded.
Yep.
And eventually, those who are shorting, depending on when they start shorting, they're going to make a shit ton of money. Because I can tell you right now, GameStop is not worth $300 a share.
It ain't even worth 10.
So if they short just before the bubble pops, whoever does that's going to make a shit ton of money. And whoever's the last person to sell, they're going to lose their shirt. So hopefully whoever was having fun with the lulls is doing this with money they can lose. Because most of the people doing bumping up the stock, they're going to be losers.
Well, a lot of them are complaining. I saw some of the articles RU was talking about. And you've got these guys up there saying, well, these guys aren't serious traders. They're just in there with their stimulus money fucking around. It's like, well.
Yeah, welcome to the party, pal.
It's
the we're all meant to be able to dance.
And since it wasn't collusion, there are some people in here that are going to be making bank. Whoever started this and bought stocks at $18 a share just to start getting the rise going, they're cashing out at $300 and are fucking happy. I'm just, the only people I'm going to feel sorry for are the idiots that don't realize that this is a bubble. They're getting in set thinking they're going to screw the man, and the bubble pops, and then they're selling stocks that they bought at $300 and they're selling them at $5. Because GameStop's not coming back unless they major league change their business model. They have to stop being a retailer of games and start being a hub where gamers hang out.
Well, they were trying to do that and failed miserably.
They could give it another shot, you know, throw some beanbag chairs and some retro games.
Well, they're one of the few places that does a proper used games market. Now, you have some other places like that one store up where you live, where you used to live, Madman, where Static lives. And there's a few others like, you know, flea markets and things like that. But, you know, GameStop's about the only major, you know, retailer that does a used market. But they're as bad as college bookstores when it comes to the used market, where they expect to, you know, you to pay $100 for something, and then they'll give you $10 for it back, and then they'll resell it for $50. I mean, that's, you know, so it's like, it's not, why would I buy used from you when I can pay $10 more and get a new one? And especially when you know, these days Steam has killed their main market. So, well, and Amazon, Steam, Amazon have basically taken out, like, okay, I want a physical console and get it on Amazon. I don't need to deal with GameStop, or I can go to Best Buy and get it, or Walmart.
Well, what Steam's doing to kill their business isn't the console. It's there's no longer a secondary game market whenever you don't have a physical copy to sell.
Yeah. Well, and I don't have to go to the store and get a physical copy anymore. And even when you were, a lot of times, you know, if you go buy the physical copy, you open it up, and there's a code in there to go on Steam or Origin or Epic and get it that way anyways.
Fuck you, Bethesda.
Without the physical copy, there isn't a secondary game market. So eventually, that's going to die for them.
Especially like the DRM they were trying to cram onto everything. It's like, oh, this game's already been registered. You can never fucking resell it.
Yeah.
Dude, that fucking pisses me off.
Because, oh, we're trying to combat piracy. Pirates don't use the same key ever again. They know what your algorithm is. They make a new one.
Or they just take your key check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think consoles are the only thing keeping them in business as far as the secondary market.
Oh, yeah.
But
the last time I was in consoles, GameStop, had to have been like 10 or 15 years ago. And like their PC section was almost non-existent. It is entirely console.
Consoles are mostly not physical copies anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, the only semi-modern console I have is I've got a Switch Lite floating around here somewhere. You buy every game online. You didn't have to go buy the little cartridges. I don't know on the current Xbox and PlayStation, because I did briefly consider getting a PlayStation for the Final Fantasy remake, but I decided I didn't want to spend the money. So
they still have discs on Xbox and PlayStation, but you can also download games on them.
Yeah, they all have hard drives. I mean, they've all had hard drives for a while now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we're at an hour.
Fuck their second-hand market, too, man. Because, like, oh, we see you've got 35 fucking PlayStation 3 games. Best we can do is $150.
Yeah, they're bad.
But their second-hand market was shit, dude. Like,
well, that's what I was just saying, is they're as bad as college bookstores.
Yeah. So, anyway,
yeah, there's no saving that company, because
I'm sure we'll be talking about this next week.
If their management hasn't figured it out yet already that they are in a dying business model and trying to pivot to something else, like they should have been trying to pivot a few years ago. If they haven't done it yet, they ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, no, they're done. They've had their day. Thanks for coming.
Well, it's either that or they're gonna send in a fixer. You know, now that all these guys that have had to pony up on these, you know, short stocks, they're going to send in a fixer, come into GameStop and gut and, you know, prop it
turn
back
into
up
Spencer's
and get it
or something, yeah, or Hot Topic.
Oh, I wouldn't even go Spencer's or Hot Topic. I'd go, Kev, I don't want to give the actual names of the places we hang out at.
Fry's Electronics.
Yeah, Fry's Electronics or whatever. But instead of just catering to we're selling games like retail, throw up the whole big screen TV with retro games on it, a couple beanbags, and a sign that says loser walks, noob. And have people in there playing old games, and then have the emulators or the old games for sale. But you're sitting there playing Donkey Kong, sell some concessions, and then do like, this is something that's dying, but LAN parties.
Yeah. So you make
internet cafes have never
consoles.
Internet cafes have never worked in the States. They work in a lot of other places, but they've never worked in the States. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. It's not a bad idea.
I mean, you might find a better market with consoles than you would with like internet cafes. Because I mean, you know, PC, it's easy to get online and talk with people.
You're thinking classic gaming though, Madman, because you're right. The modern consoles are not a dead market to them, but it's much harder for them to get into.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking of the surge I've seen in classic gaming now. Almost every company is putting out a cheap little console with like 100 of their classic games on it. So people want to play those.
Yeah.
Throw them up there and have a place where people go hang out and play video games, talk about video games, and as far as the new consoles, do release parties. Like the new Call of Duty is coming out this weekend. Show up here, enter in our tournament, win a copy, and do a tournament from the last Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Well,
and turn it into the game store you hang out at rather than the game store that you go buy shit, and people just buy shit there because they want to hang out there and keep you open.
Yeah, or you like that's not even like your main market value is your market is, you know, your game accessories and, you know, I don't know, like just diversify your shit.
Well, I mean, that's what bookstores are trying to do, too. But, you know, it's just... No, I think what you said earlier about them sitting in a fixer is much more likely. And by fixer, yeah. I actually mean liquidator.
Something to drive those prices back up where they can cash out and, you know, either break even or make a profit. I don't think they're going to... That many... of those type of corporations, I don't think they're going to let something like this just walk over them. And
no, but I think anybody who was on the original board when they saw that price hike probably thought, fuck, time to bail.
And this isn't hurting GameStop. What's hurting them is Robinhood shutting off their ability to trade. Because if GameStop wanted to make a comeback, now's the time where you issue some more stock, get some cash that you're not going to have to pay back, and then reinvest in your company and do that turnaround that we're talking about. But with Robinhood cutting them off, if other traders are doing the same thing, then this company that I will grant probably wouldn't turn around. But if they wanted to try to turn around, they're being stopped by this.
Yeah.
So they are a victim of Robinhood saying you can't buy this, even though their good fortune is from internet trolls.
So, all right. Next article. We're already at an hour. We're already at an hour 10.
Yeah, let's just go to Dojo.
Well, just real quick. Anybody care about the FTC finding people doing ticket scalping companies using bots?
Fucking yes. That's a good thing.
The FTC, okay, real quick, this is from The Verge. The Federal Trade Commission issued a multi-million dollar fine against three bot-powered ticket scalping companies. The FTC says these organizations bought over 150,000 event tickets over the past 4 years, nabbing them with automated tools that evaded online purchasing limits. After reselling these tickets for an estimated $26.1 million, they've been accused of breaking a 2016 anti-bot law, the first time this law has been applied. Regulators reached a proposed settlement with the ticket-selling groups, including $31.6 million in fines. However, most of these fines were suspended because of an inability to pay. The three groups will pay a total of $3.7 million instead. They'll have to maintain records demonstrating their future compliance with the law. Settlement must still be approved by a judge. Better Online Ticket Sales Act bans using software to circumvent ticket purchase limits, a practice that lets retailers buy tickets in bulk and then sell them at steep markup. Not only does this deprive loyal fans of their chance to see their favorite performers in shows, it's against the law, said the FTC Consumer Protection Bureau Director Andrew Smith in a statement. Companies don't specify which shows the scalpers were targeting. They note that the list includes many sporting events and other performances, including Elton John concerts. So the only reason they put that in there is because in the article they have a picture of Elton John. So,
well, if they're getting off cheaper, I think every $10 that the fine is reduced by, they should spend 12 months in prison.
Nah. I kind of wonder. I wanted to talk about this one briefly because I'm a little worried about the law going too far and as far as automated tooling goes, like banning that. But at the same time, it's really hard to get a fucking graphics card right now, too. So I'm not sure that I really am going to go too hard against, you know, protecting the people using fucking bots. So it's like, kind of wish the law didn't just say tickets, but.
Oh, we can expand it. Tickets, graphics cards. I fucking hate scalpers.
Yeah, I don't know how to word the law so that you don't, you know, go overbroad with it. But yeah, I'm kind of down with the concept. Are you? Do we want to talk about your wristband telling your boss if you're unhappy?
No, that was more of a throw-off idea. That was just show filler if we needed it.
All right. And
there's nothing of substance there.
Also, nothing of nothing of import, but it's hilarious. So apparently, I have the article here from The Verge. I'm not going to read it. We're just going to list out what it is. So apparently, they opened up Cyberpunk to mods. And one of the first ones, Fox knows this story already.
Yep.
So, Fox, do you want to give us a summary real quick then?
Hey, I am not the one here that owns Cyberpunk, Morphs.
I haven't installed any mods for it. I barely played it because it doesn't run that great.
Who wants to fuck Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, they were swapping it out. Apparently, there's some sex scenes in the game, and they were swapping out the model so that you were then, you know, banging Keanu instead of, and they took it out because they said it's unfair to sexualize somebody unwittingly like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's a 3D model, it's not a person. But yeah, it's based on Keanu. But
2047.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. But yeah. So they banned that mod.
Oh, someone please make a Brian Stelter mod.
You are, I'll be honest with you. You are a very sick man.
I'm kind of retarded.
Down to go nose down and call the night.
Can't go that far, but I'll give you a Margaret Thatcher.
No, I'm Young Brian Stelter, man.
Oh, no, 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 sard.
See, at least I'd have one buyer.
So tonight for you in Digital Dojo, I have a collection of links based around something called the QMK firmware. This is cool. So what this thing does is it runs on a handful of pretty popular microcontrollers, your Arduino Pro Mini, the Tensi 2.0, and it lets these devices run as a keyboard. Now, I've talked about using micros as keyboards before, but specifically, this one has a guide on building your own keyboard using a firmware and one of these chips. And, you know, the micros, if you go for the Chinese clones, are nothing. You get a pack of Arduino Pro Minis for like $10 on Amazon if you go for a Chinese clone. If you go for original Tensis, they're like, I don't know, maybe $10 a piece for the 2.0s. I want to say maybe more than that, but they're cheap, and like I've got a box of micros around here somewhere, so it's like that's a thing. And if you look around on Thingiverse, you can find keyboard designs. So the whole idea here is you can 3D print a keyboard housing, get some key switches off of the usual online retailers, and build your own mechanical keyboard. And if you don't have a 3D printer, well, I guess you can order parts, or, you know, if you're really handy with that Dremel, you can make something, or, you know, not. But just a very fun project idea of hand wiring up a keyboard. You don't need a circuit board. It's just a key matrix and a micro. And, you know, if you have a 3D printer, good times. If you don't have a 3D printer, well, you know, you can order stuff online, or you can get creative and come up with something else. But again, fun concept, fun project.
They have to repurpose that electronic typewriter.
There you go. Oh, that's the thing, too. If you have something else you want to convert into a keyboard that you can somehow rig up a key matrix to, you could load the firmware up on it. And, yeah, electronic typewriter, or, you know, some, you know, hacking up like a, like an old, what are those things, graphing calculator or something. You know, hey, if you're building the Cyberdeck, one of, you know, something like that would be pretty handy. So hacking up an old portable or something, or like an old Bluetooth keyboard, like Palm Pilot or something like that, you could, you know, jab one of these micros in it. As long as you get the wiring right, it'll work. So anyways, just wanted to point that one out. Thought it was cool. And that's all I've really got for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Ish, almost skipped tonight, but tooth didn't hurt that badly. So, you know, Galaxy 15 Radio subreddit, the main page in the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonyx. Did I get kicked out of the IRC? I got kicked out of the IRC. Net split.
oh, that's why I didn't see Hrats anymore. I thought he left.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently Freenode's having issues, because I just noticed I'm not actually connected. So all those links I've been throwing out there, I haven't been going anywhere. Whoops. Well, at the time I was disconnected from the IRC, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, Cyber Lard, Hrats, Madman and the Coffee Maker. Fox, closing thoughts.
Oh, to the moon.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Fuck that, to Mars. But what my actual closing thoughts are, what's better? Quick poll. U-Block Origin, AdBlock Ultimate, Ghosty Privacy Ad Blocker, or DuckDuckGo Privacy Essentials?
I run Ghostry and U-Block.
Yeah, I run U-Block.
I run U-Block and fucking AdBlock.
Yeah, and AdBlock.
So that don't help, really helped you any at all, Madman. Run more than one is the point.
What at all?
Okay. Oh, no, no. I clicked the all before. My computer went to war with itself.
How much RAM
died.
Do you have?
32.
Gigs? Okay. Yeah, you
32
you,
megabytes of high speed RAM. A technological wonder of sound and color.
It's like what you got there, an Amiga?
A Lappy 386.
The fact that you would be connected to TeamSpeak with that would be awesome.
I'm honestly surprised you haven't tried to get your Commodore to connect to TeamSpeak, and I don't even know what it would do.
So the Commodore doesn't have enough memory to run a TCP stack. The last time I got the thing online, the network card had more processing grunt than the processor in the computer. I got it online, but I don't know about getting it to process TeamSpeak. Now, if I wanted to cheat and, you know, like back it up to a Raspi or something, that might be a little different, and then, you know, have it pipe it to the Commodore, which might actually be kind of fun. The SID chip has an audio in.
Well, we know what Morph is going to be doing this next week.
No, I've got enough of the projects right now. But eventually, I'm going to come online, and you guys are like, what is that, an AM radio? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I think it's time for sound effects. Did I miss anybody on closing thoughts?
Yeah, I had one.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
I'd like to thank those beautiful faggots over there at Reddit for entertaining me this week. Yeah. It's been great, boys. Thank you.
All right.
Done.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now let's go nose down and call it a night.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Shut up, Wesley.